Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's talk consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. And you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. And I also want to thank the listeners for tuning in today. And on today in the Voice of Yoga, we will be discussing sex out of marriage. Well, let's first explain the meaning behind these two words. Swami, please give us your definitions of sex and marriage.
Yeah, the whole thing of just the statement, you know, sex out of marriage is a sin. I think what I'd like to do is just maybe clarify just our approach to the whole thing. And one of the things that I'd like to use in order to establish, you know, our approach to this question is C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity, he talks about the word gentleman. And he says that originally meant something recognizable, one who had a coat of arms and some landed property. When you called someone a gentleman, you were not paying him a compliment, but merely stating a fact. If you said he was not a gentleman, you were not insulting him, but giving information. There is no contradiction in saying that John was a liar and a gentleman, any more than there now is in saying that James is a fool and an M.A. But then there came people who said, so rightly, charitably, spiritually, sensitively, so anything but usefully, ah, but surely the important thing about a gentleman is not the coat of arms and the land, but the behavior. Surely he is the true gentleman who behaves as a gentleman should. Surely, in that sense, Edward is more truly a gentleman than John. They meant well. To be honorable and courteous and brave is, of course, a far better thing than to have a coat of arms, but it is not the same thing. Worse still, it is not a thing everyone will agree about. To call a man a gentleman in this new, refined sense becomes, in fact, not a way of giving information about him, but a way of praising him. To deny that he is a gentleman becomes simply a way of insulting him. Okay, so what we want to do here is we want to talk about sex out of marriage is a sin, and we want to talk about the words that are being used here, and oftentimes how they can be misunderstood. You know, because when we're teaching yoga here, one of the things we talk about is, I always tell a joke about a guy who comes into a department store, and he's looking to buy a chainsaw. And he finds a salesman, and the salesman refers him to a particular saw. And the salesman tells the guy that this saw is guaranteed 10 trees in an hour. So the guy's like, 10 trees in an hour, I'll take it. And so the guy takes the saw, he buys it, he leaves. Well, the next day the guy comes back and he finds the salesman. He's like, 10 trees? He says, I didn't even get a tree. So the salesman he's like, I'm very busy today. He says, can you do me a favor, you know, try the saw again, and if it doesn't work, come back tomorrow and we'll take care of it, you know. So the guy goes home, next day comes back, 10 trees. I almost killed myself. I still didn't get a tree. Salesman's like, no problems, you know. He says, give me the saw. He has the guy filling out some paperwork over the counter. The salesman brings the saw into the technician in the back. And the guy's filling out the paperwork over the counter. The technician in the back starts up the saw. The guy lifts his head and he says, "What's that noise?" All right, so everybody laughs at the joke because everybody knows, you know, that to try and cut down a tree with a chainsaw without starting it up is, you know, it's borderline ridiculous. But yet when we make a statement, sex out of marriage is a sin, nobody's laughing. You know, that it's not taken in the way that, say, for example, the same way that joke is presented. And one of the reasons is because most of us really don't understand the meaning behind the phrase. You know, because in reality, to take the physical union without this deeper inner union, what they called marriage, the union of the individual with the divine, is a sin. And of course, the term sin meant missing the mark. It was off point. So it's not a question of morality. It's not a question of conduct. It's really a question of trying to do something in a way that it is not doing what it was intended to do. Because in order to take the physical union without these deeper, or this deeper connection with a relationship of an individual with your source of sustenance, then it doesn't do what it was intended to do. And the only one that would be laughing, of course, at the statement would be somebody who understood, just like the chainsaw, you know, what a chainsaw is designed to do.
So I guess we really have to examine, you know, what is sex, what is marriage, and then you've already explained what is sin. So, so help us understand, help us get the joke. Sex out of marriage is a sin.
Yeah, the whole thing of, you know, the physical union in and of itself, you know, I mean, if you broke it down into stages or phases, you know, probably the underlying initial physical act of sex could be experienced through what they call masturbation. Then, of course, the next octave of that would be, you know, fornication, where you had involved a union with another entity. And then, you know, the highest octave of the experience, though, was with this thing called marriage. You know, the union of the individual with the divine. Because it's actually this, when an individual now has a primary relationship with their divinity. And I'm not talking about, you know, the intellectual devotional mirage that most of us call spirituality, but I'm literally talking about what we teach here at Institute for Personal Development, you know, that the rebirthing of the body in the life force, matter and mind coming together with this invisible, intangible source of sustenance has a completely different yield to it. And when a person is in the adult state, their experience on a physical level, you know, whether it be, you know, just individually or with regard to a intimate, interpersonal relationship, everything changes when you have this primary relationship with this life force. And, you know, sex out of marriage is a sin. The sin, of course, you know, comes back to what we have been saying. It misses the mark. You know, again, coming back to words, you know, we're socialized to believe in the concept of forgiveness of sin. You know, as if sin was an incident that could be excused. It's more conduct-based than it is connection-based. When, in fact, you know, sin is missing the mark. And it's not an incident that can be excused, but in fact it is a situation that has to be corrected. You know, that we come in and we draw from particles and waves. And, you know, as long as we draw from fear and limitation, we will be in this very limited sense of self. And we'll be controlled by the pain, pleasure, control dramas of our physical bodies. But it's not optimal. You know, that if we had better education, if we had better leadership that taught us how to grow psychologically and spiritually, you know, where we could separate from this limited source of sustenance and marry, you know, join the individual with this more reliable source of sustenance, then we would start to see that the changes would produce a completely different entity. You know, that the human in the adult state is virtuous by nature. You know, like we need laws to uphold the conduct that we do naturally when we're humans in the adult state.
So it sounds like to me what you're saying is we really don't experience the fullest potential of all these aspects of our lives without this connection to spirit, without this marriage to spirit. So if we had this union with the divine, this marriage, then that would make everything else in our lives, you know, that much more enjoyable. Even our own physical marriages or even our work life, relationships, everything like that. So really that's where it begins. Am I right in thinking that?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, that's why even, say, for example, with yoga, you know, yama, you know, which has come down as the abstentions, you know, and the one of your yamas was what they call brahmacharya, carrier of Brahman. You know, but again, coming back to the concept of, you know, language, words, you know, like C.S. Lewis said, you know, to call somebody a gentleman meant something years ago, you know, that you had a coat of arms and you had landed property. Now, you know, we've lost touch with the deeper meaning of these words. In fact, you know, in a huge portion of the yoga community, a lot of people think brahmacharya means to be celibate. You know, which is, again, you know, I mean, it's not the best interpretation of the word. And if you try and restrict, you know, the natural instincts and appetites of your body, if you try and deny them, then, you know, you're going to run into problems. And that's not what being spiritual is all about. It's not about deprivation. It's not about giving up. It's a substitution. That the individual, when you become spiritual, is not abstaining, but instead indulging. Only you're drawing from a different source of sustenance. And then, you know, I mean, just coming back to, you know, what we have been saying, you literally change the exchange of energy that you have with your environment. You know, because right now, to try and take an intimate relationship without this primary relationship, you know, what you notice is that they deteriorate into control dramas. You know, I mean, just like we talked about last week, the whole thing of separation from mother. You know, and why are we dealing with this dysfunctional family psychosis? And part of it is because we're competing for energy on a limited level. You know, we haven't experienced this first holy communion We don't understand brahmacharya. We don't understand what it looks like when the individual is connected to a more reliable resource. And, you know, again, our religious communities have deteriorated into belief systems. You know, the concept of religion was a practical guide for highly effective living. When an individual has this primary relationship with their divinity, then they have the benefit of internal support. They're no longer competing for energy on this limited level. They're drawing from a resource of energy that's inexhaustible.
Great, Swami. I'm going to have you just hold that thought. And listeners, we will be pausing from our discussion to hear a word from our sponsor. We'll be with you shortly.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Well, welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. With me is Swami Jayananda. And Swami, let's get back to our conversation, what you were just discussing. So it seems to me that this marriage with spirit, this union with the divine, we've already talked about how it enriches our lives. And to me, I look at that statement and think about it, and I wonder, why doesn't anybody want that? Why are people, what is the obstacles that they're facing? And the next part of that question is, what do you recommend the first thing that they do to get on this path with the marriage with spirit, this union with divine?
Well, to answer your question, I mean, I think a major reason why people don't want it is because, you know, again, coming back to the chainsaw joke, we don't know. You know, it's because the institutions that have taken over our religions have failed so bad, you know, that they're not teaching people how to grow psychologically and spiritually. They're not teaching people how to separate from a limited source of sustenance and connect to a more reliable resource. So we have, you know, collectively this classic example of the blind leading the blind. You know, so we're a population of people that are on the other side of the counter, and, you know, when somebody says sex out of marriage is a sin, we get defensive. You know, we start to look at it as if it was this, you know, moral attack on my values. And instead, you know, it doesn't play like that, but nobody is even presenting it like that. Nobody's laughing at the statement. And the reason is because, for the most part, we're disconnected from this experience. So we really don't have good leadership. And as far as, like, where do you go to find this leadership? Now, I have to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, I don't find a lot of synergy in, you know, the yoga community. There's not a lot of people that teach yoga in the same way that we do. You know, in fact, that's become such a broad topic, you know, and we explained that in one of our earlier shows. It's like the topic of mathematics, you know. Under the heading of mathematics, on one end you've got arithmetic, and the other end you've got calculus. And in between you've got algebra, geometry, and trigonometry. Well, under the heading of yoga, you have people who, you know, go for a weekend intensive, and they come back and they're a certified yoga teacher. But on the other side of that, you know, and I think, you know, more and more I start to see just how far across the way we are, you know, with our programs and teachings, you know, you have people who have systems for attaining enlightenment. And, you know, one of the things that I would recommend is, you know, for people to definitely consider giving us a call. You know, I mean, come in, talk to us, and see if, you know, what we're offering, you know, is something that you would be interested in. You know, because if nothing else, I mean, I think, you know, hopefully you would pique somebody's curiosity. You know, that sex out of marriage is a sin is, you know, the equivalent of trying to cut down a tree with a chainsaw without starting it up. You know, there's something missing. You're trying to do something in a way that it's not designed to be done. And, you know, in order to fix that, I always look at, you know, again, coming back to what C.S. Lewis says in Mere Christianity. You know, if you're driving somewhere and you miss your turn, you know, to continue going in the direction that you're going isn't going to get you closer to your destination. And to really, you know, the way he talks about progress is that in order for you to correct your situation, the one that turns back the soonest, you know, will probably, you know, be the one that will experience the most progress. And that's what we've done with yoga. You know, we've gone back. And we, you know, we reevaluated the terms, and we also applied the principles, and we have discovered the physics of spirituality, that this isn't magic. You know, again, what C.S. Lewis said, it's, you know, you could save a lot of money by putting water in your car instead of gasoline, but what we know is cars don't run on water. And the same with, you know, without this primary relationship with your divinity, the human mind-body complex is very limited in its functionality.
I have another question for you. I heard a coworker of mine say the other day, there was somebody at work that just lost a family member. She had passed away after struggling with disease for quite some time, and this person had said to me, you know, we should all pray for her. And it reminded me of what you have said in prior classes in our Theory 2 classes about praying for other people. Can you explain that to our listeners, what we talk about in Theory 2 in regards to praying for someone?
Well, yeah, again, the whole concept of prayer, you know, I mean, again, becomes a different thing when you have this union of the individual with the divine. You know, even the word itself, you know, we try and lean, instead of pray, which has a connotation of asking this person we call God for all the things that we think we want or we think we need to be happy on earth in this lifetime. Instead, you know, our interpretation of the word pray is more of the prey. You know, that the individual now uses this primary relationship with their divinity as a source of sustenance. And it's kind of like saying, you know, that if somebody was starving and you said to them, well, I will eat for you, you know, it's like, what benefit does that person get from you eating for them? And in the same way, you know, the concept of prayer, you know, asking, I'm sure it has some merit, some benefit. Thought is an energy capable of producing effects. but not to the extent that it would if the individual literally was praying on their divinity, using what they really did need to produce the feeling in their body that they were happy, that they were good enough. And that's not just an intellectual accomplishment. You know, those are some of the things that we really talk about, that you literally have to rebirth your body in this other source of sustenance, that you have to desire this other source of sustenance. Because if you don't get it in your body, the change just doesn't go deep enough.
So we need to get this life force into our body. So tell us once again, the first step a person should do to do that. What do you recommend?
Yeah, like I said, give us a call. Come in. You know, come in and talk to us. And then, you know, the way our programs are set up is independent of what you are doing now. You know, there's a good chance that you do not have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. If you do have a spiritual practice, that it's not a question of negating things that you are doing. It's a question of tweaking, you know, refining what you are doing, putting your efforts in the right place. You know, because without this internal connection, without using what you need as a source of sustenance, then your practice really is powerless. And that's why, you know, we hold very strict to the Yoga Sutras. You know, not because of any other thing other than why reinvent the wheel? You know, because it begins with, you know, you getting this image in your body, brahmacharya. You know, that matter and mind now come together with new information. Then once you have that, just like when you get your first chainsaw and you fill that thing up with some gasoline and you check your oil levels and you start that thing up, you know, cutting wood isn't that hard. But to try and do all of that without, you know, the aid of the combustion engine, you know, would be a Herculean task. So again, you know, I mean, it's where do you start? Is you've got to start with good leadership, good instruction.
Thank you, Swami. Well, in closing, I would like to invite listeners out there to please visit our website. You can follow us on Pinterest, Twitter, Facebook. You know, keep those comments and questions and curiosities coming. Swami does enjoy hearing from you and will answer any emails or communications that you sent to him. Our program next week, we are going to be discussing Dharma Kriya Yoga. Well, Swami, any final thoughts or comments that you'd like to give to our listeners?
Yeah, I don't think, you know, there's anything that I have to say, you know, other than today is the full moon, you know, and what the new moon promises, the full moon delivers. So, and I think it's kind of interesting that on the full moon in Scorpio, conjunct Saturn, we're talking about sex out of marriage is a sin. Nothing intrinsically evil with it, but it's not doing what it was intended to do. And with that, you know, I'll wish everybody a good day and namaste, and I'll give it back to you.
Thank you. Well, thank you, listeners, for tuning in to our program today on The Voice of Yoga. I am Lisa Winton. With me, Swami Jayananda. We'll be signing off. Please have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.